decree things. You're not decreeing things that you want, but you're decreeing things that has already been established. It's simply because you have gotten to the point of understanding that favor is already your own. So therefore, for those who will understand it, for those who are grown and matured enough to understand this, it's good to say, God, bless what I am doing. But I'm saying to you, in elevating it, it's not God, bless the works of my hand, but rather, Lord, help me to walk in that which I've already blessed. Let me say that to you. The prayer is not God, bless me, or bless the works of my hand, but the prayer is, Lord, help me to walk in that which you have already blessed. And what do I mean by this? If God has favored a path for you, you'll be like David that will say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I shall fear no evil. Why does he fear no evil? Why? Because why? You see, I'm speaking Nigerian English now. Because of why? God is with him. The environment does not appear conducive, but God is with him. Tell somebody next to you, in this year, I mean, seriously, tell somebody, tap the person, in this year, no matter where you go, be it good, be it bad, I guarantee you, God is with you. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. You see, I'm only speaking from what the Bible said, because I understand better now that what is important is being where God has blessed for you already. It's not trying to arrange God to bless something for you. It's being where God has favored for you already that matters. That's why the same psalmist in Psalm 23, in verse 5, I believe, he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my family. In the presence of who? My enemies. Now, why will God want to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemy? That is to say, if God has said your enemy will favor you, who are you to say no? If God has said the one that cursed you from time to 2016 will begin to bless you, if God is saying the one that has shut the door to you will now open that door for you in 2017, who are you to be afraid of the enemy? Rather, if God has favored and has commanded favor in the presence of your enemy, what will you say? Amen. Because God has said, and I believe in my heart of hearts, that if he said it's the year of favor for those two families, it is so. And it shall come to pass indeed in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, when I mention those two families, please do not be embarrassed that I'm mentioning you in public. And the reason why I should not be embarrassed is this. If God has favored you, nobody, if I can use the word, disfavor you. If God has said you are blessed, nobody can curse you. If God has said you are going through, nobody can stop it. So, don't be embarrassed if you are being exposed, saying that you are the one God has been talking about. It's okay. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered into the heart of those who are looking at even you, God has prepared already for you. And you will enter into it in Jesus' name. There was a man who was looking for his father's donkey. As far as was concerned, donkey was missing. Let me go and look for donkey. And in the process of looking for donkey, somebody said to him, let us go to church. We know there's a prophet there. He will tell you where the donkey is. And they decided to go to church like a day like this. And when they got to church, the intention was like, okay, oh man of God, we know you can see things. Please, use your x-ray eyes and Google it. And let us find, let us find where the donkey is. But the moment he got in there, something else was waiting for him. Something else is waiting for somebody here. He got there to say, donkey, hey, don't worry about donkey. I've come to say to somebody here today, you have issues that you want to talk to God about. God has answered you. God has heard you already. And you will find favor indeed in the name of Jesus. And so when he got there, what happened instead? He was told, we've been waiting for you. There has been a discussion in the heavenlies concerning you. and you are the solution to the problem of this nation. You are the next king. The guy said, no. I didn't say, I'm looking for king. I'm looking for donkey. And the prophet said, I know. I said, okay, donkey, your father has found the donkey. In fact, your father's not worried about donkey anymore. He's worried about you. He said, you are the next king. And the guy looked at him, king. Even my family don't know what they call king. My family have not aspired for kingship. We are just okay with our donkeys. God is doubling somebody's wealth here. Because what you never imagine will occur in your family, God is arranging it for you already. And you will enter into it in Jesus' name. He went to look for one thing. He found something else in the place. And this is God arranging things on your behalf. Now, if that could happen to King Saul, he who did it then is still the same today. And it will be the same forevermore. So I have made up my mind, along with those families, that I'm not just going to pray that God bless me, but I'm going to say, Lord, guide me to walk in that which you have blessed already for me. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. If you have God's backing, what else do you need? If God is there with you, what else do you need? Let me equally remind you that there were a group of people that God has promised that they will enter into the place of favor. He took them from Egypt on their journey to the promised land. But the moment they got to the venue of the promises of God, they saw things that they've never seen before. Because of their slave mentality, everybody say slave mentality. Because of their ignorance, because of what they've been used to for 430 years, because of the story that their parents have told them, that we came here in abundance, but because of one thing or the other, God has forgotten us and now we are slaves. Because they've had the story of slavery for so long, they have worked hard to build the economy of Egypt. When finally they took them to the place of promise, their mind was set in poverty. Their minds were set in slave mentality. They only understood people ordering them around to do things. They never knew they could walk into what belongs to them. They've seen themselves as little, that not until somebody orders you, do this, and forces you, if you don't do it, I'll beat you up. That's the only time to do things. Now God said, go in and take. They saw the place. Ah, they said, indeed, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But nevertheless, we are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so are we in the sight of where God has favored for us. You know the rest of the story. Because of God, God said, you know what? Rather than you going back to what I've taken you out of, all of you are dead. But Moses begged. I said, you're a God of favor. Don't do that. God said, well, I cannot force them to enter into what I prepared for them. They've made up their minds that they want to go back. But if they won't go back, let them just dance around the wilderness for another 40 years. But you know the irony of the what was going on there. For 40 years in the wilderness, do you know that every day they were blessed? Are you aware of that? Or you don't know? How many days did they suffer hunger? There was quail. There was manna from heaven coming to them. They were blessed. Every day they had water because the rock followed them. They had water to drink. The Bible said that the sole of their feet did not rot. Their sandals were good. Nothing broke down. They were healthy. They were moving around. So as far as they were concerned, God is good. He has done well for us. So every day they were blessed and they believed that, God is with us. They didn't fight one battle. I hope you know that. No enemy could come to them. Even while they were walking around, some guy called Jabez said, this will, let's curse them. God said, hey, my friend, you can't curse them. At the moment the guy, Balaam, began to speak, rather than cursing them, he began to bless them again. So while they were walking around in the wilderness, believing that God was blessing them, they were actually walking around in what we call God's permissive will. Say permissive will. Because they chose not to go into what God has prepared for them, God was a God of favor. He just said, okay, you know what? Be dancing around there till all of you fall down. And they all died. 40 years, they were wandering around in the wilderness. Then the next generation now entered into the perfect will of God. And in the Joshua generation, which we'll be talking about this year, they went in. When they got there, while the leader was saying, this is too heavy for me, some men came to him and said, Joshua, I didn't say you should not pray. You can pray. But all we are saying that you and God deal with it. If anybody there says we are not going, we will deal with them. They had this kind of tenacity, saying that if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's why they could go into the place of promise and fight an unconventional battle. People go to battle and fight. They were marching around silently. And finally, on the seventh day, all they did was say, "Hallelujah!" And what came down? The wall that stood between them and their promises came flat down. Today, as you begin to shout hallelujah, every wall that stands between you and God's favor is coming down in the name of Jesus. It means a good place to say hallelujah. Come on, say hallelujah. Now, because favor was waiting, they walked into the favor of God, and God defeated every enemy that was standing before them. So that the weapons of their warfare was just a display. They didn't use it because God was fighting. God was going ahead of them. God is going ahead of those two families in this place in Jesus' name. The rest of the families, not that you will not enter in, you will enter in too. But I'm talking about these two families will be in the forefront of the changes that will occur in lives of people indeed in the name of Jesus. Being the year of God's favor, folks, I need you to understand that to attract God's favor and the favor of mankind, you need to trust the Lord with all of your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Never rely on what you think you know. Too many of us know God. You think you know God. This is what God can do. You are making a huge mistake. Because of the small thing you know about God, you think that's everything about God, then it fails to be God. Has anybody ever wondered, what did David do, or what did Saul do that was so bad that God said, "I don't like him"? And David, he said, "That's the man after my heart." Have anybody thought about it? David broke all the rules, and yet God said, "It's a man after my own heart." That's God. God will favor somebody here in Jesus' name. The world might have a standard for you and condemn you. If God has not condemned you, favor of God is upon you. You will rise up and you will shine indeed in Jesus' name. Remember the Lord in everything that you do, and he will show you the right way. Never let yourself think you are wiser than you are. Simply obey the law. In this year, there are guidelines that I want you to follow. I encourage you, I have made up my mind to follow in this year. It's in the bulletin. You see, there are three things that you need, or I believe we need, in order to get into the place of favor. The first one is focus. Everybody say focus. The question is, what are you paying attention to in this year? If you keep on doing what you've always been doing, you will keep on being what you have always been. If you want to make any change, then you must change your focus. Everybody say focus. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, it says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your eye be good, your focus, your whole body is full of light." Verse 23 now says, "But if your eye be evil, your whole body is full of what? Darkness. If therefore the light in you be darkness," oh boy, how great is that darkness? When we talk about darkness, we are talking about impossibilities. When we're talking about darkness, we're talking about weakness. When we're talking about darkness, we're talking about everything that will not make you do it. But if the Bible says your eye is the light of the body, say what you focus on will determine what you do. If you focus on God's goodness, you will receive God's goodness. If you focus on the devil's evil, you get more of it. If in the past year you say, "I'm under attack, the devil is troubling me," this year begin to say, "I'm ordering blessings and favor. The angels of the Lord are guiding me." That's change. That's change. Number two, you need to be flexible. Everybody say flexible. Now, if you're focused, it means you're looking. Flexibility. In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides how? Alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Flexibility is saying if the seed remains on the table or in the jar, it can never realize its potential. But it needs to move from the table or from the jar into the ground, a change. Then it will now begin to transform into what is meant to be. Flexibility in this year is saying, don't say this is how it has always been and I will not change it. Don't say this is how I've always done it and I will not change it. If you're not flexible enough to know things can change, you will find yourself in a position of losing out on favor. So it's not only focusing on what is right, but also be flexible. Be willing to change. We were taught that if you say hallelujah 3 times, it's good. But if you say it 7 times, that's the best way. And somebody says hallelujah once. I say, God is not here. Who said so? Inflexibility. There's promotion. It might appear as demotion, but it's actually promotion for you. That's hints to somebody here. Be flexible. Number 3, you need to follow instructions. Say follow instructions. In John chapter 15, verse 7, John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, it shall be given unto you. Now, simple question. If the word of Christ is in you, what type of words will you be speaking? If the words of Christ is in you, what kind of words will you be speaking? All right, look, listen. How many of you can speak in French? All right, at least I know. Where is she? All right. She speaks fluent French, right? How many of you can speak in Spanish? Now, if you are speaking, okay, we all speak in English, all right? When you're thinking in English, right? How do you know that the word, that's baby talk. When you're thinking in English, what type of words will you speak out? English, if you're speaking your native dialect, what kind of words will come out from your mouth? Your native dialect. If you have the words of Christ in you, what kind of words will you speak out? If you understand English and you're thinking in English, when you're going to ask, do you ask in French? In which language do you ask? Jesus said, if you abide in my words, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, it shall be given unto you. In other words, if you have the words of Christ in you, if you have it in you, when you begin to ask God for anything, you're asking according to the words of Christ. Oh, I hope somebody understands what I'm saying. Jesus will never ask that somebody should be destroyed. He will ask for mercy. Jesus will not say, let me hide. He'll say, God, give me strength. And if you understand that, then you will know that when you walk in the blessings of the Lord, in the favor of the Lord, what you are going to be asking will be what Christ will ask. And believe me, God will do it for you immediately. Following instructions is being able to recognize what God is saying. I explained this following instructions to a few people. I said, look, have you ever been in your car driving the GPS? It tells you this is how you go. And then suddenly Google realizes there's a traffic ahead and tells you that you should make a detour. That if you make that detour, you save about 9 minutes, but you still come back onto it. Meanwhile, you make the detour, right? And somewhere you've never been before. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Now, you could choose to say, this is the I-20 I know to Atlanta. I'm not making any detour. If you keep on going on I-20, will you encounter the traffic ahead? Yeah. Will you get there on time? No. Because you chose not to follow instructions. You will get there, but it might just be longer. I shared this some time ago. I went to see Ife in Denver, Colorado Springs. I was driving back to Denver, and they said there was traffic. It would take 25 minutes. They said I should take a detour. I said, I've not been to this place before. I made the detour, and I went through the countryside, and I said, this is a place I don't want the car to die. I was thinking like a southerner, that let me just keep going. So it's a narrow road. I said, that's the old Denver road. I said, well, and I saw things I've never seen before till I came back on the highway that I recognized. Now, if I'd chosen to stay on the road that I know, I'll miss my flight. But I chose to follow instructions. In this year of favor, please listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Follow instructions. Tell somebody, follow instructions. Please follow instructions. So for us to enter into God's favor this year, number one, be focused. Say focused. Number two, be flexible. Say flexible. Number three, follow instructions. Say follow instructions. And in doing that, you will enter into God's favor indeed in the name of Jesus. Remember, the blessed promise of God for us in this year is in Isaiah 61 verse 7, which says and remains, your shame and your disgrace has ended. It goes on to say, you will live in your land. He went on to say, your wealth shall be doubled and shall have joy everlasting. In King James, over there which you are looking at, he said, for your shame you shall have double. It's not double shame, but rather double, what's the opposite of shame? Whatever it is. Honor, fame, whatever it is, it shall be replaced indeed in Jesus' name. He said, for your confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. What that means is that where there has been confusion, you shall find joy and rejoicing for yourself in the name of Jesus. Saying that you will live in your own land, he said, where God has prepared for you, you will enter into it, and so shall it be in the name of Jesus. And he's saying that your joy shall be everlasting. He's saying each time you think about what God has done for you, you will find your joy being renewed indeed. And it shall be so indeed in Jesus' name. Now, let me tell you those two families that are in the house that God is going to do something concerning in this year. And if I don't mention you, I'm not trying to embarrass you or anything, but you are also in track or on track for what God is going to do. But for these two families, they need and they will experience God's favor. And please, like I said, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm not trying to expose anything, you know. If God has blessed you, nobody can do anything about it. And you cannot hide God's blessing. It's not possible. Right? Because you break out to the left, you break out to the right, and in all kinds of strange ways that people will say, ah, this one is God. One thing I want you to remember is like what God has done, what God has prepared for you, you are going to be led into it now. And nothing is going to stop you from entering the place that God has prepared for you. Concerning you, concerning your spouse, concerning your children, concerning your siblings, because of you, because of you, things are changing. Indeed, in the name of Jesus. You are going to receive calls where you did not place calls into. You receive letters where you did not make anything. We had somebody saying here that he did not apply for a job. He got an interview. I said, who applied for it? Somebody else did it on his behalf. So don't worry. If things like that begin to happen, it is okay. Finally, I said I wanted to hear that, and I'm hearing it. That's a blessing. Now, I want you to understand that you are blessed and you're highly favored indeed. And it's going to be so. The two families that I'm talking about, one is the Onigbanjo family. And the second is which family? Eh? If your family is the second family, shout hallelujah. At the bottom line is like, hey, things have changed though. Level has changed though. The Onigbanjo family is entering to favor. I thought you'd say it for your own family. Or I can say amen for my family. Say it with me. The Onigbanjo family. Okay, let me say it slowly. The Onigbanjo family. Let me say like some of people try to butcher our name. The Onigbanjo family. The Onigbanjo family has entered into favor in 2017 in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. I want to rise up on your feet and begin to thank the Lord for the favor that is coming your way. I want to begin to thank God that in this year you are going to where God has prepared for you.